The FedEx Cup playoffs are about to get started in the coming weeks. And a reminder for you guys, for $5.99 a month, you can log on to PGA Tour Live and watch the early coverage Thursday, Fridays. Again, PGA Tour Live at an incredible rate of $5.99. Do it today. And surprisingly to us, a few of you are asking for a what's in the bag post of some kind for the latest Callaway clubs that we're playing. This is coming and in the works. For now, I'm gaming the new Callaway Epic 3 Wood. I'm going to detail a little more of this later on in the podcast, but for now, let's get to the show.
Let's be the right club.
Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. Solly here. We are in Charlotte. I'm in Brendan Porath's hotel room here as well with Kyle Porter. Trying to recreate the post Ryder Cup podcast. We're missing KVV right now. But yeah. Takes started to be spat out. And I had to put a moratorium on them. We had to save it for the pod. But
pump the brakes.
Here we are. Ready to go.
Let's do it.
How we feeling?
Day four was better than days one through three.
Combined?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total, in the aggregate.
I don't remember hearing a roar until today. We're recording this on Sunday night. I don't remember hearing one single roar the first 3 days.
Yeah.
I was pretty hard on the setup. What did you think of the setup, Brendan?
Yesterday was brutal. And a lot of it was setup related. I mean, we got five hour, 40-minute round, you know. Even par seemed good. The leaderboard, like the lead was going nowhere and no one was coming up the leaderboard. Today was just kind of, now granted, like there wasn't some like mega low round out there, like a ton of birdies, but there was a lot of movement. The setup, you know, a lot of it was just rain related. They didn't go crazy with the pins. There were some tough Sunday pins, but they didn't go crazy. But it was pretty hype right from the beginning, I thought. Like Thomas's birdie putt on two. Going in, when you talk about roars, like I remember that like distinctly. I was like, whoa, there's some like juice on the ground today.
Some juice.
And it was loud. I mean, it was like constant. The one on nine was the biggest, then the biggest one I heard. Then obviously 13 was enormous. Yeah. 17. So I just thought there was a different dynamic, and obviously, you know, made up for it. Made up for those first 3 days in a big way over those final, you know, 3.5 hours or so.
Speaking of setup, did P. Reed talk about how many he left out there?
He did. He did have some quotes saying, "I don't care if I finish second or 50th. I'm out here to win."
Well, that's been clear from his finishes at major championships.
Oh God! He did finish second, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, all right. So we're done with the no top tens of majors.
It's over.
Finally, can move on from that very bad take. What was your favorite moment?
17 was cool. So I think 16 was a little underrated. The up and down from the bunker.
Routine. Made it look routine. It was not.
No, it was not easy.
So he hit the drive on 16, and Pimp stepped it out of there. He was shot out of the blocks. Like it was near sprinting down the fairway.
Yeah, I need to butt in and say we had to revive Solly at multiple points on the back nine today because
the tee ball on the tee. He's just like the follow through and just kept like walking.
Yeah.
Grabbed his team and was gone.
Yeah. It was like part of his backswing.
Keep Solly like alive and functioning and make cross the finish line.
It's the closest to a cocaine rush I think I've ever felt without ever actually having to do cocaine. There's like terrible cell phone service out there. You couldn't even, if you were doing like a play by play of the sauce that he was spraying, you'd be over the tweet limit.
Yeah.
He was twirling it. I do have to call out one. He did have a post-shot landing club twirl. That's fake news. You have to twirl it while it's in the air. But other than that,
what hole was that on?
That was on the front nine. I think that was on number five or something like that. But
I remember you calling that out immediately.
Yeah,
that's not how this.
He's
works.
The ambassador.
That's not how this works.
He's held to a higher standard than most are. But
now, but 17 was. I thought. So being there, you pick up all these like nuances, and I thought the walk from 16 to 17 is pretty far, and he was very like stoic, and you're just I was looking at him thinking, like, I wonder what he's thinking about.
I said to you before we went, I was like, this is going to be a big walk.
Yeah.
I mean, because you go into the theater.
And, yeah.
The cauldron. It's like, it's big theater, and you got to hit a 220-yard shot over water left.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest crowd that you probably have around you at that point.
Before that, I noticed, so he got up and down on the bunker on 16.
Yeah.
And Matsuyama hit it over, was like still futzing around, trying to figure out how to get it in the hole.
Futzing.
Is that trying a word? To keep this, yeah. Want to put the E, explicit tag on this
one? Oh, we're explicit.
All right. So Thomas got up and down. You know, Matsuyama is taking his time. Thomas, like, went over. That's like a peninsula green. It's kind of isolated. There's no grandstands.
Which is weird.
TV towers. You know, no grandstands, no fans, no ropes. And he, like, went and found, like, this spot. Like, look, there was a ton of media. Like, you have the Japanese media. You have the American media. It was, like, just packed. He found, like, this little spot and just got in this, like, crouch. And he just, like, stared at the ground. He's, like, picking at his, like, nails a little bit. Like, totally locked in. Jimmy wasn't near him. Caddy wasn't near him.
Jimmy.
he was just by himself. Kind of reminiscent of, you know, the before the eagle putt to clinch the 63 at Erin Hills. Everyone made a big deal of him. Like, he got in that crouch and, like, stared at the ground. And I think, like, Johnny... Or, yeah,
well, it's
or, you know, not Johnny, but everyone's like, oh, he's nervous right now. Azinger, I think, was saying, the Fox broadcast, like, he's nervous. This was exactly like that. You could tell, holy shit, I have, like, this enormous par 3 over water. It's with, like, a tough pin coming up. I have two holes to go to win my first major. And he just, like, really kind of, like, stared at the ground, got in this crouch in his moment, and then went into the walk you were just talking about where you were trying to psychoanalyze what's going on right now.
But that's why this is my first ever major covering, and I wanted to. Yeah. That was like, that's why I said it to Porter before we went. I was like, this is gonna be an awesome walk. This is what I want to see. That's when you're gonna be there. This is what you want to see and do. Is like you're not far away from the guy who is battling. You know, you wait your whole life for the moment, for the chance.
Yeah.
He has his hands around at this point, and there's just for as big of a team as these guys have, they got caddies, they got managers, they got physios, they've got everything. Putting coach, swing coach. There's no your caddy's carrying your bag, but there's no one else in the arena with you. Like you, it's you. It's it's only you.
Which
at
is
that
the
point.
Best.
It's amazing.
It's the best.
And to watch guys like battle it and just come through in that regard. And that 7-iron he hit 220 yards and twirled it. I mean that's the stuff that I don't know. I think you can take that moment with you for the rest of your career and say, when the pressure was the greatest I've ever had in my life, the toughest shot probably I'll ever have to play considering the circumstances, I hit one of the best shots of my life.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And I think
he made the putt.
Yeah. I had the Vince Carter gift just queued up. Before.
It was in draft. Not even in draft. You had it on the screen waiting.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Before that ball actually hit the bottom of the cup, I think you hit tweet.
I mean, that hole was fourth hardest today. It was playing .2, 3 strokes over par according to Data Golf.
Shout out to Fried Egg.
There you go. Those little contretemps about 10 positions. But it was, you know, 0.23 over par. It's not like an easy shot.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, I just told it's part of this stretch called the Green Mile. Right? Yet to be corroborated. I'll have to do
the
more research.
We're green today, too.
I have to do more research on that.
I think we were talking about this last night a little bit. Way too late last night, but... We're talking about just what is it that makes great players great. And I think that there's something in them that they just, they don't, and all these guys probably think like this, but they just, like, I don't think JT ever thought, like, I'm going to fail. Like, he thought, I'm going to effing win this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he was thinking about.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's on a different level than other guys think it. That might be complete nonsense, but... I just feel like because his career has had the trajectory that it's had, that it's given him confidence to always think like that at every level, that I'm the best guy out here. And I know everybody thinks that, but he actually has the talent to back it up. So when you combine the two, you win a major championship. So
and he hasn't been burned, obviously. You just don't. If he's always been super successful, like somebody asked him about Spieth, like, hey, were you... frustrated? He goes, no, I wasn't frustrated. I was just jealous. Like, I want that. Like, so he's been there with Spieth, kind of. He has a major at 24. It's not like he was Sergio and had like 15 years of scar tissue or anything like that.
So it's like he was DJ. I mean, 24.
Right, sure. 24. Yeah, sure.
So young.
So, like, you can't say, and he hadn't really been in the hunt until Aaron Hills, right? I mean, he didn't have a ton of scar tissue.
He had one other top 10 before Aaron Hills.
I think he was T6 or 5 at Whistling Straits in 15.
Okay.
PGA.
Okay.
And
all right.
I thought that was his only other top 10.
It might have been. But,
okay.
I think there were lessons learned probably at Aaron Hills.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably thought he was going to win after that 63, and I don't think it was much of a secret that he was like really nervous on Sunday, like on the broadcast, and people that, you know, tried to talk to him before the round thought he looked pretty nervous, and he just didn't have his stuff that day. He was out. And today started that same way. He went bunker off the tee on one, greenside bunker, bladed out of the bunker into a greenside bunker, laying three, short-sided in a bunker. Hideki is putting from 6 or 7 feet, maybe, for birdie.
Yeah.
Hideki misses. JT gets it up and down, makes bogey, and then birdies next hole. Too. And it was on from there. I mean, I remember that first hole, him bogeying and being like, okay, well, plans might have to change today. I might not be following this group for 18 holes. That was a poor lapse in judgment. Another example of me feeling like I'm too close to this. Like I didn't think he was this good. I mean, I knew he was really super talented. I didn't know he'd be this good, and you know, he's had an incredible season, obviously, but just winning a major seemed really difficult to me, and really like something I didn't think would happen so soon. I feel like guys like Ricky have been battling to get to this stage for so long, and you just, I don't know, you don't, there's only four of these a year, so to win it is, it's pretty remarkable. But you and I were talking, Porter and I were talking earlier, we were all talking about kind of your what you wrote recently as well on what you think of his path to getting here.
Yeah.
And I want to hear your take on it.
Well, I mean, his trajectory has always been pretty much the same as Spieth, if not a little bit better as a junior golfer, as an amateur golfer. You know, he wins the Haskins Award, the golf Heisman as a freshman at Alabama. And I just, the Spieth, like, last 2 years has overshadowed what JT did as an amateur, but his trajectory has always been, and I wrote this, like, in December, I said, his trajectory has always been as a top 10 golfer in the world. Yeah. And it felt, I guess, weird to you because you were, like, close to it, and you're like, you gotta talk me into this.
Like my son.
Yeah, you're like, you know. You told me that you thought I was a little bit crazy for saying that.
Yeah.
And then he wins three times, and he's number 9 in the world, yeah. You know, and I don't know. I think that we've almost gone too far the other way of, like, when you look at golfers, you think, God, it's so hard to win. It's so hard to do it. I think the learning curve is 6 years or 10 years or whatever. And so it's almost surprising when somebody does it that young.
Yeah. I'm totally on board with what you said about, it didn't make sense for Spieth to have two majors and JT to have zero, and it didn't make sense for Spieth to have three to zero. Like, it's not,
yeah,
it's not comparable. Like you said, I mean, Spieth's obviously had a better pro career than JT to date, but it's starting to even out. And I think there may be some people who would say, going forward, I mean, is that a fair question to ask? Who wins more majors going forward between those two? I mean, I would say Spieth would be my answer, but you both hesitated there for a second. Like, you're at least thinking about it. You probably wouldn't say that before this week, would you?
No. Yeah. Before this week, you'd say, like, you know, Spieth could become closer to Tiger than like Thomas. I don't know. You're right that they are, like, it's a legitimate question. I think there will be, like, majors that kind of set up for one and majors that set up for another. You know, it was interesting to hear Spieth say this week, you know, the PGA is going to be the hardest, I think. I'm not sure it sets up well for me. Maybe Thomas becomes, like, a PGA guy. It seems like he knows the Masters, though, too. I think he's going to figure that equation out, too. I think it's a legitimate question. It's hard, you know.
Is JT the American Rory?
This could mean so many different things.
Yeah.
The American McRib?
The American, yeah.
I need to put the restrictor plates on. Start talking about Jeff George or something like that.
Rory won four majors by the time, but by the age of 25.
I don't mean.
Yeah, no.
I just mean in
a super talent
in the way that he plays. Big hitter. Yeah, wins PGAs. Totally. I don't know.
I think Spieth is just going to get not. I walked the course on Tuesday. And was like, this is not a Spieth course. This place is not a place.
Did you have a pin sheet or no?
I did not have a pin sheet, so I was kind of just lost out there, just wandering around. But no, you walk in, and it's like a big theater, a place that clearly you have an advantage if you hit the ball long off the tee. Whereas you walk Birkdale and you say, like, you don't need to bomb it out here. It's a position off the tee course. You can spray it a little bit and be okay, but it's about your accuracy with your approach shots. And so I think there is always going to be a group of courses, like maybe one or two majors a year, that Spieth is not teed up very well. Maybe it is the PGA every year, but like Augusta is as long as Augusta is, you don't need to bomb it at Augusta. You don't have a great advantage.
You don't have to be straight.
You don't have to be that straight. You don't have to be super far down the fairway necessarily to get close to those pins. So
it wouldn't be surprising that Thomas, you know, I mean, within what, 6-7 years, maybe he's going for his own slam. You know, maybe he has a Masters and a US Open. I don't know if his game will translate well to the Open. Like, this is within the realm of possibility. And I know, like, we always have this recency bias after a guy just torches a course and plays the way he did. Like, you know, you could say the same about Matsuyama. Kepka. You could say the same about Kepka.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Yeah, it's just so deep right now you've got, like, that Spieth magic that seems to work, you know, emerge out of that deep, you know, depth and be, you know, differentiate him.
I think I was talking
Danny Willett too.
A quick break to update you guys on what I mentioned earlier in the podcast, that I am gaming the new Callaway Epic Sub-Zero 3-Wood. This thing is lethal. You guys have heard me talk about the driver. I don't even actually need to play the driver that much anymore. This thing is rolling out 300 yards sometimes on me. Super impressed with the Epic 3-Wood. And also, I'm gaming the new Aprex Pro irons. I legitimately think these irons have reinvigorated my passion for the game. The way they carve through the turf is unlike any iron I've ever played. And honestly, I'm hitting them so much better than any other iron I've ever played. So they also just came out with the Apex Black irons. They're back for a limited time and available for pre-order at CallawayGolf.com. Check that out now while you still can.
I think I was talking more about like just style than anything, like with JT and Rory.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's not a dig at Rory at all. Like, or JT, like. Anyone would take either of the, you know, I'd be called the American Rory or the Danish Rory or the Irish Rory. Anything is a pretty big compliment. So
we just got a fourth for the pod. Oh, come on in. We're live. We're live. We're actually live.
Oh.
Come on in. Sean Martin from the PGA Tour is joining us. Resident Japanese media expert. Because we do need to talk Hideki here eventually. But first, you have to tell the story from number 10 today.
So... JT is off the green, chips it up to, I think it was 8 feet. He's got a putt for birdie. He needs it to kind of take hold of the tournament, get in the mix. He putts it, hanging on the lip, obviously everybody saw, and I looked at Solly and I said, that's going to drop. And like 2 seconds later, it drops. JT turns around, looks right at us, right at you, and just gives the MJ shrug, which...
Oh, I didn't know that.
He did...
I mean, I saw the shrug. I didn't know it was right at you.
Yeah. He looked right at us, and then he found Sally, and he goes... But he did that somewhere... Where else did he do that?
Where did he do that?
He did it earlier in the year somewhere. Do you remember that?
I don't, but it's almost as good as the DJ Pajowski screenshot I saw on the bus home.
Of him?
The bro hug with Jordan grabbing the champion's...
We gotta tell that story too.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
No, he's the shrug is what he. You know what he did? He did that at the Players on the 17th green.
Yes.
in 2015.
Wow.
I don't know why I got this memory all here. Of a sudden.
But he did it at somewhere else this year.
Yeah. That's his go-to move.
That's his, yeah.
He had like a putt fall in the side door at the 17th of the players.
Yeah.
And did the same thing. He like walked off. And that was when he shot, I think, like whatever that was, 63, that crazy round.
Final
65.
Round. Final round.
No, it was Saturday. Maybe it was the final round. Whatever. But yeah, he's got the shrug move down.
Yeah. It was like great. It. That was a great moment.
Gonna need to add some moves to the arsenal. But fast forward to so that fired him up. Like he's been like really straight laced the entire day. He was like acknowledging the crowd, laughing about it, and then just goes and nukes a drive on 11, crushes one on 12, and then pulled one on 13, and we're sitting there right just left of the green, chips it up. Roll. I mean, the greens are just so brutally fast. Rolls, drops in the side of the cup, and he let loose the biggest celebration I've ever seen out of him. I mean, he said
it was the most berserk he's ever gone on, really? On a golf course.
I mean, well, he was pointing at him like 10 feet to go.
Oh, yeah. He started walking very early.
He had a subtle, like, underhanded, like, fist pump, too. Didn't go big uppercut, but it was a perfect...
So this moment as well. So Sean is a big, big Hideki Matsuyama fan. I don't know, were you allowed to say fan? He's inside the ropes.
Biographer.
You can't say pin.
Biographer.
But there's a picture of like everyone, there's like the reaction. It's JT like with a big fist pump. And I'm in the corner with just my eyebrows raised. Like, did he seriously just hold that? And there's two Japanese guys next to me that look devastated, and then there's Martin who looks the most devastated of anybody.
Is that a real? I haven't seen.
This
that
is a real
yet.
Thing.
I haven't seen the photo yet.
We'll show you here in a second, but there is actually a photo of you just looking devastated that JT just held this chip.
And I like JT a lot.
Who do you root for? Who do you root for in the President's Cup?
I've got to represent my country.
Japan.
You root for the story.
I mean, and I like Justin a lot. God. It's more just the natural contrarian in me. I think if everyone's going right, I'm going left. And so I think, you know, Hideki, I don't think he gets as much love as he deserves. Obviously, the language barrier is tough, but so I just want to fly that, I guess, flag.
Hideki was going left all over the back nine today, so that works well. So
Martin was walking the right side of the hole then.
But this did feel, you talking about, like, how there's not a lot of buzz to the event.
Yeah.
Like it really felt kind of like a Hideki Kisner battle for a while there. Like Thomas was just kind of playing like the supporting role.
You mean on Sunday?
Yeah. Okay. Up until like, I don't know, what would you say?
I'd say nine.
Like seventh hole?
I'd say
eighth
nine.
Hole? Yeah, it really felt like, all right, we're doing like, this is going to be like a Matsuyama Kisner dance maybe in the last two groups. You know, Reed wasn't on the map. And then Thomas just kind of felt like he wasn't in it yet. So
I think when Justin made that put on nine, it felt like the thing came alive. Saturday was kind of dull.
Yeah.
Saturday guys are just making
the clip
bars.
Is on the TV right now.
We're literally watching.
This is good
it
podcasting right now.
Right
now, but
this hurts.
This is JT chipping in right now. It's Martin just being devastated. Ah, oh, you're not in the shot. But
that
gave
me
like a woo, baby.
I had just come up because I came in at the turn. I had to get some hydration. It's hot out there.
Did you go to the hydration station?
Some electrolytes.
Yeah. So I came out. They were walking up to the green when I got out there. And just, I guess, got there just in time
for your heart to be shattered.
See the dagger.
We need to talk about the
Hideki did birdie the next two holes though. Maybe we can. I don't want to get ahead of things, but
we needed you here to regulate the conversation, make sure Hideki got the right dues. But very hosel adjacent JT's 3-iron that he hit off the 14th tee.
Not good.
I'm not going to call it a full shank, but it was hosel. It was close. It was very close. I didn't come up with that phrase. That was Randy or somebody this week. But and then he chunked a 5-iron on 15. I didn't want to say. As soon as I went to say it, he chunked a 5-iron on 15, and he didn't birdie 14 or 15. Like the only.
Hold on, I gotta step in here. The best part about the chunk on 15 was Solly trying to justify it, saying that was a pretty severe downhill lot. I mean, you know, I don't know if he could have done any better than that. Missed it in the right spot, you know, left himself a nice up and down there for birdie.
It's probably in a divot. I mean, well, you couldn't see the lie.
I worked out though. I mean, it just landed right, you know.
It did. It wasn't actually that bad. Yeah.
Hideki, an amazing up and down on that hole too. Can we talk about the scene though? That's where it really started to get pretty wild.
Like
the gallery, people are running around, a security guard had a forearm shiver, a fan to keep him off JT's caddy.
The crowds were legit this week. I mean, they were deep.
It was kind of quiet up until today, I thought.
Numbers. It was big numbers. And it was, let's just say, there's not the kind of like Masters intensity about keeping the crowds under control.
No, people were sprinting.
Like, you can get away with a little bit here. And like, I saw a couple days where like people were just kind of meandering on the wrong side of the ropes. You know, milling about with a beverage in hand.
Yeah, there's like, a beer inside the ropes, you know, for a couple holes.
Which is fine. I don't need to, just because I have a credential on, I'm not some, you know, first class citizen.
They weren't taking it was our interesting. Water, which was a little disconcerting.
Yeah.
They were stealing our water.
Big J journalists need their water.
I loved it, though. I liked having the people inside the ropes.
I want to read the Sean Martin tweet from, I think it was on,
that was on 15. Things were lit.
The normally genteel citizens of Charlotte are beside themselves. Gallery members clothed in pastel showing no regard for gallery ropes.
No regard for human life. It did get kind of weird. Because anybody that was following the Kisner group bailed on it.
Yeah.
And went to catch up with JT.
I got to say this. I felt bad for Kisner. I like Kisner.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player. I think he's underrated. And it was just kind of like, oh, is he still on the course? Like, it just, I don't know.
He got lost.
You're not a Stroud guy?
No.
That would have been an amazing story. Look, I mean,
Stroud got so distracted watching other people be nervous that he forgot to play. And post the score. He didn't play bad. He just got distracted watching the other people.
Was that what he said?
Oh, well, I mean, we heard it 400 times about how I'm not nervous. I'm just letting the trophy come to me. I'm here to watch other people be nervous.
That's such a...
He forgot to play golf.
That's like what
he was
Tiger
too busy did. Watching other people.
Yeah.
It got a little obnoxious.
Can we talk about Tiger's tweet?
It was aggressive.
Yeah.
Kill house.
He's got straight from the kill house.
I'm glad Tiger's back at the, has his fingers on the Twitter bot. Maybe not the best.
Wait, was it signed TW?
No.
They've done away with that kind of formality.
Oh, it's just all Tiger?
I think he's loose. He's taken after the Prez. He's just a loose kid.
Denying tabloid rumors about his significant others. He's sending out the felt, his new Raiders pool felt.
He said, congrats, JT. Way to rise above the carnage and out-execute everyone on that back nine.
He executed Hideki.
Yeah.
Carnage.
With that shot of 17.
Carnage seemed a little strong.
I mean, execute.
No one died.
Out-execute.
I haven't told you guys this yet. I'll keep this one quick. But on our shuttle back to here, we hit a bike. Apparently somebody like fell off their bike and fell off to the side of the road. And we like hit the bike, and we had to stop for like 20 minutes to make sure everyone was okay. Everyone's okay. It's fine.
You don't have good luck in
travel in general. No.
Yeah.
Not
in 2017.
Good. No, not good.
It's bad.
What's next? What are we missing?
We talked about the shot. We should go through 18, just like what he did on 18. Like kind of where he was at that point. And
so he went for driver, and he gave a pretty long explanation as to why. So he's up by two at the time. Went for driver and said, if I'm trying to hit a draw, my miss with the 3-wood is left, and left would be water.
Yeah.
It's like, so I teed the ball down low and kind of went to like my go-to shot, which is like under pressure, like a 90% more of flighted driver. And he's like, it just kind of squirted 3 yards right on me.
Three yards right
when it's going 290 down. The question was kind of asked,
that's
like,
saucy.
What were you thinking hitting driver there? What was the thought process hitting driver? And it's kind of like, I mean, it probably was the club that he thought it was the best chance to make a par. He probably thought you still need par there. Like, you don't know what, you can't assume you need bogey. You're good.
But I think
that.
Once you
wasn't the most questionable decision we saw on 18. This week.
But continue. Yeah.
He did shout out Tiger, that when he tees it low, the miss is on the heel and to the heely spin fade, which I think Tiger.
He said that?
The miss with the low driver is a high spinny fade off the heel. So that's why it brings water out of play.
That. That's so good. That's such a great quote.
Heely spin fade.
I thought once he was in the trap, though, and he sort of had to lay it, like, I thought that he played it really well. I was wondering if he knew like what Kisner was doing.
Yeah. So we were walking up 18 fairway. He stopped with, I don't know if he talked to Dottie Pepper. I don't know. He looked at the broadcast screen in the middle of the fairway. So Dottie Pepper has like a little screen that, that she's looking at.
Not the app on his phone.
We'll talk about the PGA Championship app.
Leaderboard.
And he like looks at it, and I assume got some kind of update about it, because after he bogeyed the hole, he marked a 6-inch putt, because like he knew it was for the win. Yeah. So he
it did go from like, you know, five people being tied to like one shot within.
It was
four
wild. People.
Then kind of like, all right, Thomas may burn on 17. It's his.
It was four tied, then five tied, yep. And then he chipped in on, or he was leading by one and chipped in on 13, and that's when it was, with the two birdie holes in front, it looked like it was going to be over then, but he didn't birdie either of those.
I couldn't get the Vince GIF pulled up. It wouldn't load. The
service was not good.
Yeah, it was not good.
You just sent a parenthetical or something, yeah. Right?
I wanted to get Martin's take on Thomas's like amateur and junior trajectory. I think we talked about it earlier.
We did talk about it before you walked.
You have better insight because you covered him.
Yeah, we'll get out of the way. Clear the way. I got this. I mean, it is. I mean, we all talk about, you know, he's Jordan Spieth's good friend, which is kind of unfortunate because it really, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of a, I don't want to say historic, but I mean, the guy's got five wins in a major now at 24. But actually, the best story of the day might have been his dad. They kind of asked, when was the first time you kind of knew that he, you know, maybe could close or he was special? And he said he was 10. He was down three strokes with three to go in a junior tournament, and he told the other kid in his group, all right, watch this. This is what I'm going to do to win. Like, laid out every shot in the next three holes, did it, and then beat the kid.
lethal.
Texting Solly, I'm going to win a major this year.
You're born with the sauce.
You don't learn the sauce.
I don't know if this is saucy or not, but he wore pants in junior tournaments because he knew, like, pros wear pants. So.
That is the definition of sauce. Like rooting for a 65-degree day so you can wear pants is sauce. That's where it comes from.
It's too bad DJ's not here because there's the famous story that Justin won a junior tournament, a big one, when he was like 15, and DJ was an intern at Golf Week. I was working there, and I was like, yeah, man, you're going to have to call this kid to do the story on it because I don't want to do it, basically. So winning the tournament gets him into the Wyndham when he's 16, and he makes the cut. He shoots 65 in the first round when he's 16 years old.
I don't remember that. 65 yeah. In the first round?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You're nodding your head cockily like you knew this.
No, I looked it up tonight. I saw it tonight.
Okay.
I remember, I've heard it in the past, but it's weird how like we don't. That's not as like high profile as Spieth, like Nelson, Nelson as a
his
teenager
best finish.
At Jesuit.
Now, granted, Wyndham is Wyndham's par 70, and they go really low there. So the first round, they lose probably 62, but still 65 in a tournament, 16.
You don't have to. You know,
it's really good.
Yeah.
And then actually, the one year him and Spieth played college golf together, Thomas was player of the year over Spieth. Spieth turned pro first. Thomas turned pro a year later. But I mean, Thomas like.
But do you feel like their trajectories have been the same since they were juniors?
It's hard to say. I mean, Spieth, I mean, winning two juniors, like, only Tiger won multiple juniors. Thomas was runner-up, though, like, one year. Like, they've been very close. Like, they're running neck and neck. Spieth obviously separated himself probably a little bit with, you know, 2015, some of the earlier pro stuff. But
A little bit.
Yeah. But if you look, there was a list, Golf Channel did it, 24 years or younger to win four times in a season in a major. It's Rory, Justin, Spieth, Jack, Tiger, like that's it.
Sounds like a big spreadsheet. Justin Ray is behind that.
Yeah, that was definitely, there was some pivot tables.
HT Justin Ray,
big Excel.
But I mean, if it wasn't for Jordan, I mean, Justin would be it. Like that would be, I mean, that's the standard for under 25. But Jordan's just, I mean, it's historic what he's doing. So you didn't have that with Tiger. Like when Tiger was doing all his nuts stuff. I don't want to get into Tiger stuff, but like comparisons, but like
nut stuff.
No, but Tiger didn't have like another guy his. Not what I meant. His age, there was also like winning major, right? You know.
Nut stuff.
Ty Tryon was the
Tryon Boulevard, in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were walking down Charlotte. We were walking downtown Charlotte today, or this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Smartin, just always, you know, on brand with obscure golfer facts.
Amateur.
You know,
junior.
Any kind of off the beaten path. He's like, oh, this is Tryon Street. This is actually comes from Ty Tryon's family. Like, he knew it. Off
goes
the
back end. To North Carolina.
It's just whatever. Divergence we didn't need to go down. But
my favorite fact is that Ty Tryon and Jordan Spieth have the same agent. But
Ty Tryon has an agent?
Well, had. No. had when he came out. It was same age in the speed does now.
Wait a second.
What I got a question. What did you guys think of like the post, like the celebration basically? Because it was weird in that you could like, Kisner's still on the course. He could birdie 17 and 18. You don't really know what's going to happen. Just what did you think of how everything played out? What did you think of Spieth and Ricky and Bud Colley coming out there? Just what was your take on that?
I mean, it's kind of a thing we've grown accustomed to now. These guys hanging around, coming out.
Do you like it?
Do I like it?
I think so. I mean,
I think they're not gonna, cool. I don't like or dislike it. I think it's cool.
When Ricky won at Honda, Justin had missed the cut, but obviously lives down there, and he was practicing at somewhere else, and he came back to the course to see Ricky win. So,
I mean, it's
are you
going
to go like, are you going to go old school on and say it's too friendly that they should just be out of there and they should all be
everybody's?
No,
friends.
I think that no, I'm not. I think that it gets played up too much.
Yeah,
that it's like, oh, this is so cool, and
what's
it's like
TV I just thing? Use the phrase "good friend." Why? I mean, what's just friend? They're friends.
It's just empty calories. It's candy for TV, and they just put it to cameras. I mean, yeah. It's an easy shot.
It's cool. It is cool. Yeah, I agree. It's overplayed, but it's like the guys that are kind of controlling the game right now, in a sense, are our buddies and looking out for each other, and they have fun with it. Like Spieth was super excited.
He was more excited than JT.
He really was.
It was crazy.
And like that was legitimate. There was no faking any of that.
And so much of that is because he knows that JT doesn't get the credit he deserves because of what he's done.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think you could say it's anything but cool.
That's a good point.
Right. And I thought Thomas made like more macro point about it. Like it's like representative of like where the game is right now and how it's really cool and how we're all like we've come up a lot together and we're, you know, doing a lot of big things together and we're happy for each other. Yeah. I don't know. It's not some like grand thing about we need to say about the game, but it's a cool thing.
I don't think that. Like I don't think it's bad. It just is what it is, and it gets like blown into this like this is the greatest. Yeah.
Well, it's just easy storylines. Like if you don't want to dig into like deeper stuff. There's always easy storylines. Like, there's different layers of fans, too. So, like, someone just tuning in for a major, like, those are the storylines.
This is your ladder theory.
Yeah, the fan ladder. We don't have time for that. That's a whole different podcast, probably. We'll lose
I'm already time. Assuming he's getting invited back. Hasn't even sat down yet.
First time, long time.
But the celebration, like, it had to be subdued a bit. Because Kisner's still coming up, and it wasn't, like, signed, sealed, delivered.
Right.
And I don't know if he knew that Kisner didn't birdie 17 or not. Like
He said that he knew when he was on the third shot. He knew that he was up three. He tried to get on the green.
Okay.
So he knew it was over. They played the Vince GIF on the scoreboard.
Well, the real celebration came in the scoring area afterward.
You have to tell it.
So we're standing out there outside the scoring tent. Everybody's just kind of milling about. Ricky, Spieth.
They were all talking to his dad. There's a big media scrum around his dad and the caddy.
And Jimmy.
Your boy Jimmy. Jimmy J.
And JT comes out of, I guess he was in scoring the whole time. He comes out and he just makes a beeline for Solly. And he walks up to him and said, I effing told you I was going to win a major this year.
I didn't even remember him saying that. Like, I totally legitimately forgot about it. Like that was the first thing he says, I told you I was gonna win a major this year. Like kinda mad about it.
Yeah.
It's not like I didn't agree with him, but he was almost angry about it.
But
it
the best
such a cocky moment.
The best part was that Spieth walked up and slapped him on the butt. And then I don't know if you saw this, but Spieth heard what he said to you. And Spieth goes, Justin, what did you say? Like you shouldn't be cursing like that.
Because the mics did. So this was all on camera. I didn't even know it at the time.
It was great.
But it was the CBS. The irony of me being on a CBS broadcast, perhaps more than some of the players this week,
was the butt grab?
I don't
want to
get you in trouble.
Or was that live?
What's that?
Was the butt grab on tape delayed or was that live?
That was. This was a moment ago. This was a moment ago, I think. But the audio does pick up him saying like the end of it, like major this year. But yeah, it was
man,
that was pretty
that
funny.
Dump button ready.
I think they might have muted the F bomb that came in it, but. That was
great.
Pretty
that was
awesome.
Cool.
Pretty awesome.
On his way to go get his Wanamaker trophy. Yeah. I mean, and then you tweeted a screenshot of the text.
Yeah,
you
I
went
found
back.
It was April 20th. He's like, it was after the Masters.
There's only three left.
You went yeah, he's like, I am going to win
that's
a major.
Even better.
I'm going to win a major this year. I'm not sure how many,
Or which one?
With three left.
Yeah. To say I'm going to win any of the next three tournaments, no matter what they are.
And he almost won, too. He almost won the U.S. I mean, not close on Sunday, but that was pretty hilarious. Good way to cap it. But Quail Hollow. Impressions overall of Quail Hollow.
TPC Quail was a good host. I thought it was...
I need to leave the room.
No, I'm just trying to stir things up. I don't really think that. It was fine. It was cool. I mean, I think it seems like a cool club. Course seems... I like, you know, we did end up with some variance on the leaderboard. It wasn't just this, like, total bombers fest. Yeah. We had, you know, Kisner in there.
Frankie.
Who's that?
Molinari.
That's what I was going to say. The Molinari brother was in there. Like, we did. No, I mean, I remember looking at the board and taking note of that. Like, hey, we do have some, variety here. I enjoyed it. I mean, it got... Like we said, Saturday was just dull. The back nine is cool. There's a lot of kind of like risk reward. There's some short par fours.
I like the back nine.
I don't know. And you know what else is cool? I'm talking a lot of like non-architecture areas, but that scene at 18 was awesome.
Yeah.
Like that was like a legit amphitheater. It was like reminiscent of like the Travelers, but twice the size that you get there.
That's cool.
That it sounds like we didn't have at Erin Hills with like grandstands like pretty far back from the green. So I thought it was cool for a major. It was hot, but it worked fine. I wouldn't say I was totally in love with the place.
Yeah. I think it was penal enough. You had to ball strike it well, and that's why Kisner led after three rounds. But I think the one take that I really liked, the greens were, for how sloped they are, were too fast. So guys are just trying to two putt. I mean, even Hideki after he shot 64, he's kind of like
what?
The putt. Sorry, back to Hideki.
Wait, what? We're using Hideki as like a barometer for a great putting?
No. But he said it helps me. The greens are so fast that I'm not trying to make some of these putts, and then they just happen to go in.
Yeah.
So his secret to making it is not making it. But basically, you just have guys two putting all day. That's why Saturday I think was kind of slow.
Yeah.
Is you're just trying to two putt. You're trying to make pars and then take advantage of the short holes.
Why did they do that? Did anybody ever?
Adam Scott had a good point today. He's like, as severe as the greens are, there's just not that many accessible hole locations that you could find on those greens. So I think that. Either slow them up a little bit, soften them up maybe a little bit, but...
I remember seeing Ricky hit a shot yesterday on 4, which 4 is supposedly... It's the worst hole out there, and supposedly it's going to get imploded.
It's going to be gone.
But he hit like a 7-iron, 8-iron. It's not a big hit yesterday. It lands on the green, and it looks... Not like it hit pavement, but it bounces above knee-high. Like just a normal, like a high-lofted shot. Like it's just not happening. I know firm is what people want, and... You know, if it's too soft, it's just guys throw darts in there or whatnot. But it was like a bounce that should just not ever happen. And there's way too much of that this week.
I thought it was fine for PGA. Probably have another PGA down the road. I think it might be a cool, like, match play course. Like, you know, they're going to do a President's Cup here.
Got to cut the rough.
They want to try and do a rider. Yeah, you probably reroute it. Like, you want some more of those back nine holes. Guaranteed to be in the matches. Well, I think it's cool for that.
No, I don't want it for match. It was fine. I just don't want it for match play.
It was crazy. I thought it was unique. I'm not from the South, but I thought it was unique. You know, I don't see a ton of Bermuda, but like it was like it was extremely unique. I'm writing a lot about this for tomorrow. It's just how like it's only like 2 inches. It's very short, but I mean it just wrecks your entire attempt to
eat it up.
Any kind of precision or. Yeah. I was. It really struck me this week, and you can't have that. You don't want that for a match play event. What did you think of Quail, Chris?
So on TV, it always looked. And I knew they changed the greens. I didn't realize they changed. They added Bermuda grass everywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until last night. I think. I mean, because on TV it looks like amazing, stunning, and like the rye grass just looks better on TV than Bermuda does. And when I get there, it's kind of like. I mean, yeah, you can tell nobody has played this golf course in a long time, so it's in perfect condition, but it just doesn't look that beautiful. That Bermuda rough just doesn't look that good. It wasn't like the lush scenery that I was expecting it to be. I thought the front nine is okay. The changes were not well received, and I kind of maybe were kind of not brainwashed a bit just hearing guys kind of rip on the changes for the first few holes. Like they did some good things. Like the fifth hole now is like a pretty nice dog like right par four, but
Like the, it's just weird the place where the dog leg is. Like you can't even cut the dog leg off. It's just kind of, the hole just turns to the right. And it's, there's just, I don't know, the front's kind of imperfect, but the back nine, there's like not a bad hole out there. I mean, it's honestly so fun to watch those guys play that back nine.
Yeah.
11th hole is grand, dog leg left, and 12th goes way downhill through these like these two little trees that define it. 13th is a cool par three with like a big amphitheater for the fans. 14th, drivable par four.
13 was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought 13 was cool.
15 is great, par five, and then the Green Mile, which is, thank you for pointing out that it's called that.
Brandon. I heard of that.
It's okay. It's a bit overrated, I think. 16 is overrated, I think. 16's not a great hole, but
17 is.
Yeah, I think the holes aren't perfect, but I like that the last five holes, you're not thinking about making, you could possibly not make par in the final five holes. You get birdie, 14, 15, and the last three holes, bogeys are very much in play. I think 16, yeah, it's weird. It's weird that the ball's above your feet with the water on the left, and you're kind of, you know, Rory takes it over that bunker all the time, but really that runs out so quickly that I feel like if you're taking it over that bunker, you're running, getting into a really small spot.
He carries it.
Yeah.
Carries just the bunker.
Do we have any McRib takes?
Well, he was playing hurt. Does that change our takes?
I think it's hard to, like, yeah, you have to reassess it. You know, playing hurt, you can't kind of give him the full grade. You can't, like, grade him fairly or accurately if he's numb in his left arm or whatever he's saying.
Yeah.
That sounds intense. You know, when he's not chatting up Solly and everything, you know. Giving Tron.
Yeah, we need to tell the Tron. You need to tell the Tron.
Yeah, I will tell the Tron story. So this was Saturday afternoon. Tron and I are just kind of roaming around the grounds, and we meet up with McRib on the 12th. And
I like that you're calling him
now it's ingrained. Well, I had asked him. I was like, all right, so McRib nickname, are we cool with this? He's like, yeah, actually,
cool with
this? I was like, I like it. I like it. And then so we're on the we get to the 13th hole, it's par three, and we're kind of laying back and minding our own business. And Rory crosses the bridge and then like waits at the end of the bridge for Tron and I to cross the bridge.
That was on 13? 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he just goes, so you're like, are you Tron? And he's like, yeah. And he, like, then he puts his arm around him and kind of like hugs him with it and like shakes him a little bit like in a friendly way. He's like, so you're the one that christened me the McRib, huh? And like, Tron's like, yeah. He's like, I actually quite like it. And Tron's like, well, you better, because it's not going anywhere.
Emboldened well, by then, Rory's
Corrigan,
love for his...
But the source of it was Robert Lucetich called him the McRib once. And so Tron started making fun of Lucetich calling him McRib. And that's the source of it. So Tron did not come up with it, but it is definitely popular for the nickname catching on. Are definitely responsible for it catching on.
But. I think there's been a little too much, and I try to like give Rory a fair shake. I, you know,
none of us.
You think Rory. I'm a fanboy? I am probably.
He's the Pied Piper.
But you know what? I need to come with some backlash to the backlash.
Yeah.
Hating the haters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck that. He won the FedEx Cup less than a year ago. Right? He's been hurt all year.
His podcast got lit.
I'm done with this. You know, like, so what? He didn't win a major this year because he's been hurt. He won the FedEx Cup a year ago, less than a year ago.
People forget.
Won $10 million bucks. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, fallen to like 60th in the world and, you know, he hasn't won this year. He's been hurt. He's had limited opportunities.
He got married.
What's that?
He got married. Changed equipment like five times.
I have a theory about how playing with your wedding ring on.
Oh my god!
I was waiting for this actually. Right. I noticed that he played with it, and I actually don't think this.
Whatever. I do it.
I do.
I haven't heard your theory yet, but
important take. I don't know why I'm not married. I don't know how you play with your wedding ring on. This is like important stuff.
I never even feel it.
I would lose it.
There's like a little spot in your bag.
I
you just put it in there.
Wearing it, I don't know.
You let on JP course, or I guess no, JP's no longer with us. But Harry, you know, have Harry keep the ring.
What happened to JP?
I mean, I don't. I think it's throwing off the weights maybe on his putter. You know, he's got a little too much, two extra it's ounces. Yeah,
I can't tell. Is it a real thing or is this just a joke?
I think it's a joke. Poor talk myself into
deciding right now whether or not it's real or a joke.
It's a joke.
It's workshop.
I saw the look in his eye.
I'm done with the backlash. Backlash. Though.
I'm with you. The backlash is, it's like he finished top five in the Open and Bridgestone coming in.
Right.
People are like, He sucks.
He's got to win five times a year.
He just finished top five two tournaments in a row.
I think guys who make it look so easy, we always are harder on them.
Yeah.
Because they make it look so easy when it's on.
Everything shifted when he won four majors by 25 into thinking that this is the path that he should maintain at all times. It happened last year with Spieth at age 23 when he didn't win a major. That, you know, it was comparing 2015 to 2016. So it's not.
Golf is hard. Like, we don't need to. I mean, maybe, you know, we got a little too carried away on Twitter about that one. Yeah. I don't know. It's like people need to chill out. You know?
This isn't 2013, Rory. This isn't like he's not missing a ton of cuts. I know he missed a couple in Europe this year, but I don't know. It's not good when he says you may not see me until next year. That's really not good, except for maybe content because he's gonna have a lot of free time. But
yeah,
Other than that,
hinting, teaser.
Other than that,
professional move. You're full time.
he finished. I looked it up. I think he finished first in driving this week and 70th in putting. Ooh. And it's just, I mean, you watch him on that course, which I know all of us did, and he's carrying all these bunkers and like he's hitting. You took, it was like a Walmart super center between him and Omar Uresti on Saturday. And then he just doesn't score. And it's got to be like, I think it's frustrating to watch. It's got to be frustrating to him that he's like, I'm like 90 yards out, I'm making par, or like missing a green and making a bad bogey. And it's just, it has to be. I'm interested to see if he just goes into the off season and just works on wedges for like 3 months, you know, and just tries to tighten that up, because he just has to score better. He's hitting it fine. He just needs to score better.
To me, he hits the ball really high, like almost unnecessarily high. And again, I'm not a coach. I don't necessarily say I'm not. I don't think like you need to lower your ball flight to be more successful. It just seems like there's a lot of room for error when you get the ball going as high as he hits it and with as much arc as he puts on it. It's not a ton of arc, but it's like
how do you change that?
I don't think you do.
Isn't that natural? Like,
I don't. I would imagine so, but it just seems like if your start lines are not right when you're trying to move the ball from right to left, and almost every shot I watch him hit, I feel like he moves it right to left, and it just never felt like the ball was starting at the right spot. I watched him at the Memorial last year, and the ball looked like it was on a string. It was not. I feel like it was going lower than it currently is. But he was in total control of it.
Still going right to left?
It was going right to left but you just felt like when he was lining up over a ball, I was like, I know where he's going to start this, and I know where it's going to finish. And I just, the little bit that I got to see him this week, I didn't have that feeling.
Yeah.
Again, and he's not
I wonder totally if that's the injury.
They very well could be. I mean, he's been pretty mum about it, to be honest. I mean, every time I ask about it, he's kind of like, you know, it's okay. I didn't realize it was as bad as
I thought it was interesting. He said he hadn't had his trainer look at it in a while.
Yeah.
Like, he'd just been kind of managing it and like trying to get through the PGA, and then have him look at it next week. So
I mean, he should just, I don't know.
You want to have your like trusted medical people, but I don't think flying, you would know better than I would, I don't think flying to Northern Ireland was planned between now and the first playoff event. But I mean, flying to Northern Ireland to get it checked out is pretty serious.
Did he say he was doing that?
He's
right now. Yeah, tonight.
Heading to Ulster.
Huh?
He's heading to Northern Ireland?
Yeah, he's in the air.
Huh.
On the air McRib?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can believe that, because Solly's here with us. I assume he'd be on the plane.
No, Solly stateside now, permanently.
Oh, that's right.
I'm back, baby.
Just come home.
Mom's basement.
I'm back.
So Rory getting the keys, so he can go down to Florida.
What else? Any other major storylines from this year? Are we ready to start picking Masters for next year?
I know. We got to wait eight months now.
Can we talk about how good the last, 2017 major winners and like the last 4 years?
Yeah.
Who's the worst? Well, I mean,
is this Willett? A question?
Yeah, it's, I guess.
I know we hate doing it, but.
Is it Willett? Is it Jimmy Walker?
I mean,
Walker was developing a pedigree. I feel bad. The guy's got Lyme disease. I think we've got to take that more into consideration. And Willett's got a back end. That's the hard part.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Willett's still really young. Like, Walker's older. Like,
but Walker had like won six times in a couple year stretch. He's won like more over the last 3 years than JT has, I think. And I mean, I know that Walker's older and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's got to be. I don't know. We shouldn't probably
feels
make
dirty.
It. We should. Yeah, it feels dirty.
It's such a good day.
With the amazing.
Yeah, I don't know why I brought that up.
I just think we talked about this earlier about how we were all at the Ryder Cup and how amazing that week was, and just that
can't be talked.
What we got to see and the energy and stuff. I did not feel that Saturday, but today I felt that same thing of like, oh, I can't believe what we're watching right now. It's like one thing after another, and it's kind of a, I don't know if we owe that to the PGA of America, but it was kind of like coincidence, or it was crushed it.
I was thinking about it out on the course, and obviously I wasn't at the Open. I was in there first, eagle putt, obviously. But I was thinking like that chip in on 13 was kind of, I think maybe the biggest like hole out, biggest moment, like unexpected make since the Reed Rory thing on the eighth hole at the Ryder Cup for me in person.
Yeah.
Like I did, like it just had that kind of feel to it. Obviously it wasn't as, I don't know, the stage, it wasn't as like insane with the back to back, but it was just a hole out. It wasn't like this 10 foot putt.
Right.
It wasn't like nine where he made a big putt. It was a hole out from off the green. It kind of, I was trying to think. I think that's like the biggest and loudest shot I've heard in person since that Reed Rory.
A lot of those moments were lacking this week for the most part. There wasn't like another huge, with it, no aces this week, right?
Juiced.
Oh, Uncle Juiced.
One hopped it in.
It felt like a coronation. Like there's people everywhere, like, they're so hyped for JT. They want him to win. They're running like to catch up.
It was crazy.
He's pulling off shots. Like, he's 17 when he's staring it down. He club twirls like it was alpha. And there's people just everywhere. He's winning his first major at like 24. I don't know. Like, it was just the way you want a guy to win a major. Like, walking up to packed 18, walking up, winning it, earning it. Yeah. Not someone else blowing it.
Yep. It's an amazing close to an amazing major season again.
I mean, he kind of owns the crowd in a way like that was kind of speaking. And maybe it's because, you know, he's from Kentucky, went to Alabama, we were in Charlotte. I mean, that's like just making a facile narrative.
There was a lot of roll tide.
But
Tommy Fleetwood's from Southport.
Right. I mean, that's just like an easy narrative to say. But like, you couldn't walk, you know, more than 2 seconds without just people screaming JT, roll tide.
No, they were chanting JT as he came up 18, which was, that was cool.
Yeah, whether he has a major yet or not, or has this long history, he's like a pretty big superstar. Maybe someone that's like, he's a personable, enjoyable social media person, you know.
I think it's so interesting, like, and we could do a whole other podcast on this, but like, what makes somebody a superstar, and what, like, why is he a superstar and not Kevin Kisner? Kevin Kisner's won 2 or 3 times on tour, you know.
Yeah.
Like it.
People love you.
That sounds like a debate for Skip and Shannon or something. How do you define superstar?
I mean, part of it, people love you because now it's like, well, shoot, he's got a major 24, he could win X. But then, unfortunately, you get crazy and we say like, why? You know, why does he want a major a year from now?
So you think it's only youth?
I think youth is a big part of it. Because if a 38-year-old guy wins his first major, it's a good story on the other end because he's finally got that first major, but that might be it.
It's like JT's got a better track record already than Kisner.
Okay, so
Kisner gets overlooked a lot.
What about like
us included?
What about Fowler? Fowler's not like super young. No, I mean, he's youngish.
He doesn't have a ton of wins, but he's like a perennial top 10 performer.
He was like a big prospect. He was a good college player. Like, I don't know.
He's got a lot of wins.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, why? I'll just ask that question. Like, why is, like, Fowler's a really good player, obviously. Like, I think he's sort of underrated and overrated at the same time.
He's wearing an Oklahoma State golf hat right now, by the way.
He's a thirsty boy.
Hey, I got to tell that story. Yeah. I'm following, I get out there on Thursday. I flew on Thursday morning. Shout out to the Alan Shipnuck plan.
Full Shipnuck.
Yeah.
Rolling in with the balls already in the air. Practice rounds are for, you know.
The golf balls in the air is what he meant, for the record. Martin's face just went ghost white.
So I get out there and I realize I had an Oklahoma State hat on inside the ropes following foul.
And orange sunglasses.
Not good.
The thirst is real.
It was so bad.
That orange. Well, you were
a bigger fanboy than me.
I did wear an orange. That's a little. It was an Under Armour shirt. It was speed. It was for speed.
You had Puma head to toe, Okie State hat,
white belt.
Yeah, it was not good. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just curious about like why some guys are superstars and some aren't. I mean, Fowler is not. He's good, but he's not like, you know, he's not on the same like path as like a Spieth or a JT or whoever.
My favorite Randy take ever about Fowler. Randy's a Ricky truther, if you will. Said Ricky's got work to do to have Barton Keimer's career.
Yeah.
It's a really good take.
There are a lot of people more popular and with higher profile than Martin Keimer who have a lot of work to do to get Barton Keimer's career.
Yeah.
The forgotten man.
In this two majors of the players. Martin Keimer is an enigma.
I kind of like him.
It's kind of like Louis.
I love him.
Can we talk about Louis having not only a major, but now a runner-up in all four majors and this year's players?
The sham.
And this year's players?
And this year's players.
And you know what? You know what's the best? Like, he just doesn't even care. I don't think.
Did you see his tweet?
Yeah, it's amazing.
He made like $1 million today. Like, you can't be that upset.
Gonna go buy some new tractors.
He's what? I gotta do the math. Seven wins from five majors? Or seven swings from five majors?
Jeez. All right, on that, anything else that we missed, Major? I don't think
so. Hideki topped the team in all four majors.
I wonder who won the
on brand.
I think Hideki won the cumulative major season.
Yeah, Brooks snuck in there. Brooks finished like T13.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's like 10 straight top 25s in majors or something.
It's absurd.
Brooks is...
His major record is insane.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Ricky, seventh top five at a major this week.
Wow.
Seven top fives. I think they're all T5s.
Him strutting off the green here after slapping his girlfriend in the butt, too, that was like... It's funny because Justin...
We're talking about Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
We're watching. Yeah. This is not one to tell this on screen. Good podcasting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think part of what makes him a superstar is kind of he's got a little bit of that kind of confidence, but he's not off-putting with it. Like, that was a little alpha there, and he showed some other strutting, but he's not, like, off-putting.
You love the alphas.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's only be one alpha, but I don't know. He's got a little bit of that swagger.
Masters?
We got 8 months away. I mean, you don't want to do Wyndham picks or anything.
I'm excited for the President's Cup, actually.
I am too.
I mean, that team's going to be really interesting. The U.S. is going to destroy them.
The international has work to do.
Sorry, Hideki.
Masters, I mean, it's hard to think about. Yeah.
Every year from the next 20.
There is.
I win four of them.
There is a web.com tour pro that I have my eye on. That might be by come next April. His name's Omar Uresti. Full-time web tour professional.
I don't know if he could handle the heat of Georgia in April. That guy, he was perspiring out there. I swear he was trying to drive it in the shaded areas just to get a little break from the sun.
Could you imagine that? It's like, well, there's more shade over there. I'm going to draw this one into the shadows.
it was hard watching like that pre-shot routine. I first for the record only watching him because he was playing with Rory. That pre-shot routine and that like little hitch he does before he hits it was just it was painful to the soul. Like years of my life were lost.
He's on the
watching him trying to swing
trophy presentation, 18th grade.
Yeah, I heard he got booed.
Oh, he did.
That's why I saw a tweet that said he got booed.
Matt Tron.
People were angry.
Trump was out of town.
I tweeted about him a couple times. People like responded with vulgarity.
Yeah, they were not fans happy.
Of, like,
the integrity of the club pro game runs deep. All right, let's wrap it on that. I think after I did the first podcast with JT, I joked with him that he was not allowed back until he won an event. He won in Malaysia, and then after he did that, I said, all right, you're not allowed back until you win a major. So we can now finally record part three.
Now
JT,
slam.
Whenever you're ready. Yeah, now after that, he's not allowed back on part four until he wins the slam. But Martin, thanks for your first ever appearance.
Long-time listener.
A bit tardy, but Porath, thanks for the hospitality in the hotel room. Porter, thanks for appearance number 35 on the podcast.
Day one.
Thanks for having us.
Started at the bottom, now we're here.
Cheers, boys. Good night.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything.